We are continuing to discuss the spiritual gifts found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And tonight, we are on the gift of prophecy. So our list is getting longer, and my stand is getting shorter. But we'll get through it the best that we can. And if we look at verse 10, well, I'll go back to verse 8. For this is where we started the list of the gifts. So verse 8 says, "For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles," and here's the one we're going to focus in tonight, in on tonight, "to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues." That'll be an interesting night coming up. And then just to kind of summarize verse 11, "But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills." So we're talking about prophecy tonight. And if I were to ask you to define prophecy, what would you say? How would you define prophecy, the gift of prophecy, or just what is a prophecy? Tyson?
Things to come.
Things to come. Tyson?
Speaking for the Lord.
Speaking for the Lord? Okay, good. So between these two answers, we really encapsulate all that prophecy is. I think the way that it is typically used, especially out in the world when they talk about prophecies, they're talking about something that was uttered in the past that predicts or anticipates something that's going to happen in the future. Now, when we go to Scripture and we investigate prophecy, we do find these things. So what are some prophecies, and I'm going to narrow it down, prophecies found in the Old Testament that take place in the New Testament? What would be some foretelling of events to come, given in the Old Testament, of events that took place in the New Testament? Yes, the birth of Jesus. And so this is what we're looking for, that kind of a thing. We have a prophecy about the coming of Jesus and the place of his birth. It gets pretty specific, in some places, the prophetic utterance. So we have a prophecy of the ministry of Jesus. We have the prophecy of Jesus' death. And, of course, I'm focusing in on the ministry of Jesus. One verse that we find that looks forward to the ministry of Jesus is found in Isaiah chapter 53:5. And this is pretty well-known passage, I think, for the most part. "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." So there's a prophetic utterance of things to come. Now, this is going to be a little bit, maybe you've never heard this before, but there continues to be the prophetic utterance of things to come that is done regularly by normal people like us, as opposed to special prophets, and that anticipates things to come. Now, what I mean by this is just kind of springing off of this verse, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, "Of this salvation," talking about the salvation that we have in Jesus, "the prophets of old have inquired and searched carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come to you." So we're talking about the grace of salvation and the declaration of salvation. So here is a prophecy concerning these things. And some of you may have heard me do this before, but this is serious and this is not a joke. Here are some prophetic foretelling of future events. I'm going to do that right now. You guys ready? "If you sin, God will not bless you. Things will not go well in your life, and you will die." Right? This is not rocket science here. This is the gospel. "There is a day of judgment coming. We will all stand before the judgment seat of God. We will give an account of our actions. We will give an account of our words, of every word, actually, that we speak. If you believe in Jesus, though," again, this is all future because it's still unfolding, "your sins will be forgiven. You will be baptized by the Spirit. You will be a servant of God. You will live with him for eternity." All right, did you all get that? This is If this, then this. And it has to do with our relationship to Jesus. So again, this is stuff that we hear regularly, and we teach and we preach it regularly, and we're so used to hearing it that we don't really realize the future element of all of this. So we can still declare the truths of God. Some of it can still be concerning future things, but it's not the kind of thing that when we think of prophetic utterances, it's not that kind of thing that comes to mind. What comes to mind when we think of somebody making a prophetic utterance? It's weird stuff, right? Some smoke rising. It's like maybe like a rock concert, right? Smoke and lights and flashing, and I don't know what else they do at those things. But all right, what else? What are some future? What are some prophetic utterances that people might make in the world? I mean, we even find some specific things in Scripture. I mean, pretty real specific things. What? Yeah, the return of Christ. But I'm talking about...
Oh, you mean I predict that you're going...
That's right. We're going to finish at 7:35, and if you walk too fast, you're going to get hit by a raccoon walking across the...
And I predict your things
going to... Yeah, there you go, right? Alan, can you put your hand right here? just hold my stand. I must have a different one than I had been using, but this... It does get pretty annoying here. I'm trying, every time I touch it, you know, it just goes down 2 inches. All right, anyway. So that's the kind of specific the kind of specific prophecies that I think in our world we're accustomed to. And honestly, this idea of what a prophetic utterance is kind of has filtered into the church, because our view of what prophecy is I think is a little misguided in its discussion and emphasis. So we'll go through some of this as we move through the study.
So are you talking about like psychics or like Nostradamus or...
Yeah, though the world...
Or anything like that?
Thank you, Curtis. The world will use the word prophecy in those contexts. Yeah, for sure. Thank you. Get that stand out of the way.
So we could say a prophecy that's going to find its way into the trash can.
No, I was thinking more along of the lines of duct tape, you know, just kind of right around that bar there. Of course, it's going to be the height for me. Nobody else will be able to use it, especially you, because you're like this. All right, so anyway, that's the kind of thing. The world uses the word prophecy in those contexts and many others. And it has filtered in and I think impacted the way the church looks at how prophecy is used in the New Testament. So when we're talking about prophecy, we have the first element of a prophetic utterance could be the foretelling of a future event that has not taken place yet. And there is that component that we have to maintain. But there is another component that we need to zero in even a fuller way, and that is the proclaiming of the Word of God. That a prophecy is not as so much predicting the future as it is declaring the words that God has given to us. And so you have a prophetic utterance. Now, if we look at the first mention of a prophet, this goes back to Exodus chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. It says, "So the Lord said to Moses, 'See, I have made you as God to Pharaoh, and Aaron your brother shall be your prophet. You shall speak all that I command you, and Aaron your brother shall tell Pharaoh to send the children of Israel out of his land.'" Now, what we have here is the idea of Moses and Aaron acting as prophets to Pharaoh. And what are they going to do? They are going to speak what the Lord commands and instruct them, Pharaoh, to let the people of Israel leave. There's no future component to that necessarily. It's just the speaking to Pharaoh the words that God wants him to hear. And that brings us close to what our understanding of a prophet should be like. So we move on to Deuteronomy chapter 18. So we're still in the Pentateuch and Moses. I will raise up for them a prophet. Now this is predictive here. This is future. Jesus is the fulfillment of this. Like you from among the brethren. But here's where we see what a prophet is. I will put my words in his mouth and he shall speak them as I command him. And that is the definition of a prophet. A prophet is one who, in whom God has put his words, that in turn the person speaks out. And so now we have the word of God that has come to us. It has come as we read it and study and we take it in. These are the words of God, and then they are spoken once again out, like I'm doing tonight. Okay? So this is the job of the prophet or the role of the prophet. A prophet speaks the word. He speaks the scripture. So 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So now in the New Testament, we as believers in Jesus have been given the Holy Spirit, right? And I mean, the whole discussion on the gifts is that the Holy Spirit has come. He empowers us. He gifts us. He manifests himself through these gifts. And so the idea, like in the Old Testament, where God would speak to them and they would speak, is a little bit modified in the New Testament because the Spirit of God, God himself, resides within us and he reveals to us what we ought to speak and we speak it forth. All right, so that's kind of the process, but the idea is still the same. The words that are spoken are words that come from God. And that's our goal. I mean, obviously, every time I teach and preach or whatever, there's the challenge of getting myself out of the way and, you know, allowing God to have his way through me. And really, anytime any of us serve in any way, the challenge is to get ourselves out of the way and to allow God to have his full way through us. So it's the process is the same, and that's part of the growing in Christ process here. So it's the same, you know, whether regardless of how we're serving, our goal is to allow the Spirit of God to work through us, because all of us are gifted as Christians, as believers. We're all gifted with some of these gifts and or a combination of them in some way, as we have been talking about in the past. Are you all familiar with the Valley of Dry Bones? Yeah. All right, so it comes from Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 4. Just to take one of the verses out, it says, again, he said to me, this is Ezekiel, prophesy to these bones and say to them. Now, here's the word to the bones, and it's not prophetic. It is a declaration of God's truth. Oh, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And then he goes on and he speaks to them. Come together and get up and let the sinews come on you, and you know, then you have an army of zombies there in that chapter. But it's all you know, it's a, all right, maybe I shouldn't have made that joke, but you know, it's a you know, the prophet is speaking in these terms. All right, Zechariah in the New Testament, who is Zechariah? The father of John the Baptist. Good. So here is Zechariah. And notice what it says. Now his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for in us the house of his servant David. And he goes on. So again, this is a declaration of truth, and Zechariah is speaking it. He's prophesying here. And you can read the rest of the prophecy. It's a lot like this. And, you know, there might be, he will do this and he will this. And there's some of the future things that come into it. But there's also this, the declaration of truth. Now, what is the purpose of prophecy? What is the purpose of the declaring of the word of God? What does a prophet do when he gets up and he prophesies in this way? Well, it is for edification. Edification. So the primary purpose of prophecy, as we will look more in in some of the verses here. The primary purpose of prophecy is edification. And it is the proclamation of the truth that brings edification. So, just to kind of take a side note here. Oh, let me just go to this verse here. And we have the ultimate purpose of prophecy found in this verse. I fell at his feet. This is John at the end of his vision in the book of Revelation. I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, "See that you do not do that. I am a fellow servant. I am your fellow servant and your of your brethren who have this testimony of Jesus. Worship God." And here's the important statement in this verse. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now, what that is saying is this, if I might paraphrase a little bit, that the heart of prophecy is testifying of Jesus. That's kind of a, in my own words, kind of thing. But the testimony of Jesus. So somebody who's proclaiming the word of God is going to proclaim the life that is found in Jesus Christ. I mean, it all revolves around him. And we find there are some other verses that say something similar to that. So, edification. Someone who teaches might teach knowledge, right? Like the word of knowledge and word of wisdom. You might be instructed in these things. Someone who prophesies is not necessarily teaching truths, but is encouraging and exhorting to the truth. Like a teacher. And both are important. A teacher might say, "Well, here are three key points to prayer. And when you pray, number one, number two, number three." And we need to understand that. The prophet might come alongside and say, "All right, you all know you need to pray. And we need to pray for this. So we need to pray in this way. So come on, let's get to it. Let's pray. It's so important. You know, we need to be moved to prayer. We have the head knowledge that we're supposed to pray, but we're not doing it like we should." And so the prophet is just kind of pushing us in the direction of that truth. And we'll see this. I mean, you read the prophets in the Old Testament, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and the smaller prophetic books. You find this over and over again. "Come on, follow the Lord. Put away your sin. Keep his covenant. Walk in his commandments." It's just this exhortation over and over and over again. And that's really the core of what prophecy is about. Now, all right, here's a personal question. And there's no right or wrong answer, but I just want you to think about this for a moment. If you could pick one gift to have, what gift would you pick? Huh? You want to be a prophet? You want to prophesy? All right, Beverly's going to be the prophet. Tess? Come on, what gifts would you like? Tina?
Music and singing.
Okay, good. Curtis?
Discernment.
What? Discernment, okay.
Discernment also.
Discernment.
Sometimes some people are just so wrapped up in their struggles and whatnot.
Uh-huh.
You just need to be able to say it for them.
Okay. Well, I didn't expect anybody to say discernment. Tyson? Healing. Oh, yeah, I'm there. I'm right there with you, Tyson. That's one of the ones I'd pick. What else would I pick? What else would you pick? Sorry. Miracles, right?
I would have to be able to see. A lot of people interpret the wrong thing, like tongues.
Yeah.
But a language.
Right.
To speak like
Chinese
or Spanish. Or, you know,
yeah.
You can learn.
Or Russian or something like that and tell Putin to get out of Ukraine, right?
Yeah.
All right, now I'm probably picking miracles and healing and the faith to move mountains. I'm probably, you know, I'm drawn to those, but I'm probably picking them for the wrong reasons, but that's why I don't have them, right? All right, but of all of the gifts to desire, notice what it says here, and just the idea of desiring a spiritual gift is interesting in and of itself, and we touched on it some time ago, but pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. There it is. I mean, desire them, but especially that you may prophesy. So, Beverly, you win the rose for the right answer. she read ahead, right, okay. Prophecy? Why? Why would that be the one that we should especially desire? Well, verse 3, I don't have a slide for verse 3, but 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3, two verses after this one, it says, Why prophecy? Because he who prophesies, I always mix up my prophecies and prophesying. He who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. Now look, if Jesus said, well, Paul, if the Lord through Paul here says, desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you prophesy because prophecies speak edification, exhortation, and comfort, what does that tell us? That edification, exhortation, and comfort is what? Really high on God's list of what is important for us. Now, that's telling, I think. That's, again, if we're thinking about what gifts we would pick, that's why I said, you know, picking the healing and the miracles and the faith, that would be pretty exciting, and I'm probably picking them for the wrong reason. Because the true heart of God is that let our service by the Spirit through the gifts be for, especially prophecy, be for edifying one another, exhorting one another, and comforting one another. That is really important. So the next time, well, here you're here at church tonight, and so you know when we're done and you get up and you go out and you start talking to one another, just speaking a word of comfort, that is high on God's list here. And don't underestimate what your friendly word or encouraging word is worth. Don't put that down or think, oh, you know, well, I'm not so important and I don't have a great gift. And hey, if you're exhorting or edifying or comforting somebody, that is significant. Significant. Right. Yeah, that's true. And remember, our edification and the comfort is based on what Scripture says. The word, we're speaking the word of God. That's what the job of the prophet is. And so we're taking the word of God, which is all important. That's why we spend so much time on the word of God here. It is central to the ministry of our church. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. And so this word is eternal, and so we are giving our lives to it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So here we're moving away from just the gift of prophecy to all of the gifts of the Spirit. It is given to all of us, we all have them, for the benefit, the profiting of everybody. So again, don't underestimate or shy away from every word of comfort or exhortation or edification that you might give. It is high in God's estimation. 1 Corinthians 14:26, the last sentence here, let all things be done for edification. Let all things be done for edification. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. And that's why the prophecy is so much greater than any speaking in tongues, because it's for the benefit, for the profit of all. The gift of prophecy is a valid ministry for believers. Now, if you were to think of, well, who is a prophet? Who is a prophet? Who might you say is a prophet? Who might you point to as a prophet today, possibly? What kind of people, I should say? What kind of people? I'm not looking for specific names, but what kind of people might we turn to, Kevin? Okay, all right. Now, Tyson pointed to me, and I think he's closer to how people might respond. The pastor, right? If anybody's a prophet, maybe he is. Or maybe that pastor of the really big church. Well, if anybody's a prophet, maybe he's the one. So we kind of tend to look to the big people, or the well-known, or the popular kinds of people. Yeah, the leaders. When in reality, this is one of the gifts in the list, and as we have been seeing, is that it is given to all of us, and there is maybe a lot of us here who have this gift of prophecy. Now remember, God takes these gifts and he kind of puts them together and combines them, and so, you know, I'm not saying, well, that's your only gift, but, you know, whenever you're speaking the truth, for edification or exhortation or comfort, you are speaking in a prophetic way. And this would be the exercise of the gift of prophecy. And remember, we have a combination of gifts. So I might consider myself as having the gift of prophecy, but it is combined with the gift of teaching. So I've got these two gifts which kind of work together. And so that comes across as, you know, some teaching and a little exhortation and, you know, just kind of a combination of that process. And if another of you might have the gift of teaching and the gift of prophecy, you might be a little bit more weighted towards the gift of teaching and do more of the instructional kinds of things and then a little bit of the exhortation, or the other way around, okay? There's no saying. It's just so beautifully designed by God that each one of us is unique in the gifts that we have been blessed with.
In a sense, it's kind of what we do with some of the mechanical equipment that we build. If we want the device to move 70,000 tons, we use an 18-wheeler. Now, you're not going to get great gas mileage out of it, but that's not its design. It's designed to move a bunch of stuff.
Right, right.
Other things, well, maybe it's supposed to get you from here to here on a half gallon of gas, but it's going to have different talents than it can carry, but maybe you can duffel bag.
Right, right. Yeah, so, it's a great thing. Okay, any questions about this? I know a lot of what I've said here might be new to you. You've never heard it before, but so go ahead and ask if you have any questions.
I remind me of the clean gap. Seasons of things.
Yeah.
Even within ourselves, there are various seasons when we have a certain knowledge.
Right. Right.
And when they kick in, as we're doing what we're doing.
Right.
And the main thing is what we do makes a greater difference than more than what we say.
Yeah.
It does show more in the doing than it does in the saying. Granted that the saying is what takes us to.
Yeah, but we need to do and say. There's no way to get around that. Whenever, as Christians, it is critical for us to be doing the faith. We need to live it. But if we live it and never open our mouth, which was me a long time ago, you know, I tended to, well, you know, they're going to know me because of the good way that I'm living. Well, you know, they have no idea that you're doing what you're doing because you're a Christian unless you say it. So there has to be both. You have to live it, but they have to know what you're living and why. You have to speak it. So again, they know, you know, what it is that you're doing and why you're doing it. It kind of goes together. Charlie.
You brought up that prophecy is God's word.
Yeah.
Jesus is referred to in John as
right.
God's word.
Yes.
And if you want to look at what's going on in the Holy Land right now.
Oh, yeah.
The Jews nor the Palestinians know God's word.
Right.
They don't know Jesus.
Right.
Jesus is God's word. And that's why they're fighting each other and there's no peace and there isn't going to be peace until the word comes back.
Oh, absolutely. That is, you're right on there. Colin wears a shirt. He said, it says, no peace, no what?
No Jesus, no.
Oh yeah, no Jesus, no peace, with K-N-O-W. And then with N-O, no Jesus, no peace. I like that. That's really good. That's really good. So yeah, you're right. And just to kind of a side note, you know, the interviews they've been doing online of, they don't mention God, you know. It's just, they just.
This is really sad.
Yeah. Yeah, it's sad. Everybody in the world, you know, needs Jesus, and it just in a time like this, it just becomes critical how important it is for us as believers to stand up and to make sure we're speaking the truth. That's what we're talking about tonight, speaking the truth for exhortation and encouragement and comfort, and that's what the heart of prophecy is all about. Yeah. All right, any other comments or questions about prophecy? Okay. Well, let's pray and we're going to close. Okay? Heavenly Father, I thank you for this evening and for the chance to look at this gift, the gift of prophecy. I just pray, oh Lord, that you would move in our lives, help us to speak your truth to one another, to speak it in love for edification and exhortation and comfort. And we thank you that you have called so many of us to be able to do this in our interactions with one another for the profit of all, for the edification of the church, and for the glory of your name. It's in your name we pray. Amen. All right. Thanks, everyone.